We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings. Welcome back to the show. I hope you're well. It's your old pal Wilson bringing you once again one of the finest podcasts in the land. We are now into our fourth year. What 4 years it's been. It's been crazy, isn't it? And the guests that we've had. I honestly can't believe it's been 4 years since we started doing this. It's been insane. And we didn't realise how big it would get after all that time. Like when we first started off, I remember, I've said it before, wandering around Brixton when I was meeting people to interview them. And, you know, and now here we are. We've got so many episodes under our belts now. And, you know, and looking into what we're going to do now for the next, you know, what we're going to do in the future. We've got some good ideas coming up, so we'll keep you posted about those various things we're going to do. We've got our YouTube channel as well, so if you want to watch the episodes, that you'll find those on the YouTube channel, on our YouTube channel, Insane in the Membrane, so kind of have a look at that. Yeah, and I'm still touring around doing gigs, chucking myself around the countryside. I'm going to be popping up on a few things that you might that might surprise you, so keep your eye out for that. And yeah, I just keep doing what we're doing, and we couldn't do it without your support, so thank you very much for all of that. You are good people doing good things. Thank you very much for listening to us and being there for us. Producer Paul and I greatly appreciate it. He's a good man, our producer Paul. Bless him, because this wouldn't be in your ears if it wasn't for him. It's just been me chatting into a laptop, as I've said before. So here we are. I'm doing this from my flat, actually, in the comfiness of my flat. Not that Producer Paul's studio is uncomfortable, but he hasn't got decent mugs, let me tell you. We talk about that in the episode. Our wonderful mugs. Yeah, that'll come up. Actually, I might treat Paul to some mugs, actually, for his place. We'll treat. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to treat Paul to some lovely mugs. Maybe some stuff with anchors on and things like that, because he loves sailing. He likes a boat. And yeah, maybe that. We'll get him some sailor type mugs. I don't know what I'm going with that. Let's get on with the episode, shall we? So, this week's guest is the wonderful Rosie Holt. Rosie Holt, I first became aware of on Twitter. She's a comedian that does sort of like, it's a satirist, if you will. And it was funny, when I first started seeing her, I thought the character was real. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I started watching it, and it's brilliant. It's like, I remember seeing The Office for the first time. Late at night, I got in from somewhere, put the telly on, and I was watching this thing, The Office. Obviously, didn't know who any of the people in it were. I was just like, what is this fly-on-the-wall documentary? You know, and believed it for a bit until, you know, you realise it's Ricky Gervais. And this is the same with Rosie. This Rosie Holt, she's got this character that, an MP. And some people take it seriously, and it's really funny when they do. They don't realise it's a joke. And I was like, yeah, I've got to get Rosie on, have a chat. And it was excellent, you know. And the thing is, like I say, we know each other, but we've never really spoken. And so when I have a guest on that I don't really know, I'm always a little, there's always a little bit of me, there's a little bit of trepidation. I'm like, oh, is the conversation going to flow? Is it going to be great? Are we going to be interesting enough for the listeners? And blah, 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 blah. Didn't have to worry about that with Rosie. We got straight into it, had a great chat. The time whizzed by. And you'll hear for yourself in a minute. So coming up in a bit is Rosie Holt.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
Look at me, I'm so middle class, drinking tea out of my recruiter.
It's a really nice mug as well. That's a proper good mug.
It's a great mug.
I know, I've just got serious mug envy because my flatmate, he was here long before I was and I moved in, and all his mugs, they're all horrid. They're all like free, they're all kind of free mugs. You know, there's mugs with stupid catchphrases that makes me angry. But I also, I'm too much of a cheapskate to actually buy other mugs.
Right, yeah,
really,
yeah,
sad.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of mug I want. That one right there.
One of the benefits of getting married, unbeknownst to me, there was a wedding list. And
mugs.
Yeah, and the wonderful Jen Brister.
There's a point to marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone said to me, marriage is the same as before, like when you were just dating, but you just get better pans. So, the wonderful Jen Brister treated us as some lovely mugs. I'm all middle class now. My Le Creuset mugs. Check me out. How have you been anyway? You good?
Yeah, I've been good. Been all right.
Good. It's lovely to properly chat to you. I don't think we ever have we, really?
No.
Not properly.
No, I think I walked up to you somewhere in Edinburgh and went, hello.
That was it, yeah. I do that a lot and then I just wander
it's
off.
It's me,
and
Rosie. We've spoken on Twitter.
Good to see you. Bye. I think that's Edinburgh in a nutshell, isn't it? You just kind of pass and you understand that everyone is such a weird place to be.
Yeah, it is. Very stressful. Find it fairly, I love Edinburgh, but that it does something weird to your brain, because as a comic, you're bumping into people you know all the time and some people you haven't seen since the last Edinburgh. And it's weird. That's not normal, is it? You shouldn't be bumping into people every 2 minutes.
That's why it's dangerous up there, because you could bump into someone either going to a show, which is great, you're busy and you're like, oh, good to see you, good luck with everything. Or you bump into people going to a bar or in a bar or around and about, and they're like, you got a minute, do you want to go for a pint? And then you're like, oh, hang on a minute.
So
I've done Edinburgh all the ways. I've done it where I've been hammered the whole time. I've done it where it's been work and nothing but work.
Yeah.
And I think the last couple of times I've worked it out, the good balance.
The balance, right, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going this year because I just fancy a year off.
Yeah, it's full on. Also, it's so expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really lucky because I get to stay up there for free because I've got family up there. But otherwise, amazing. I don't know how anyone affords it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, we were the same. Like my wife, Kate, has got a friend that's got a house halfway down Leith Walk, and she just said, yeah, come and stay here.
Yeah.
We offered to take her for dinner. We offered to take her for a drink. She's like, no, no, it's all good. Just don't worry about it. Get out and do your thing.
Good.
And that's the thing. It's so expensive now. I mean, it was like 10 grand for a flat for the whole month.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And they wonder why we've all got mental health issues, because we just want to get out there and entertain the people. But this is the thing. I was talking about this yesterday. Like, it is a privilege what we do, but at the same time, it's like people do need entertaining, and they will, you know, when they go, oh, let's go and see a comedy show, let's go and see a band, it's getting to the point where we have to pay to be doing it, and that's on our level. I saw somebody say about the nurses, and you have to pay to train to be a nurse, blew my mind.
Yeah,
I was like, surely if you want to be a nurse or you want to be a teacher or you're in the army or whatever, surely that's it then. You should just not have to worry about anything ever, because you should be given all the help you need, I reckon.
Yeah, it's stupid. That's my contribution to it.
I like that.
Stupid.
I like it. Your character is so political and all that, but you're in real life, it's just stupid, isn't it? Just daft, that. Does make me laugh when I see people on Twitter taking it seriously. They think it's real.
They do that a lot. The GMS advice is the last few times, which seems to be a new, because it goes through phases with people, but the last few times I've had a few people go, I've had about three people go, I've always been a conservative voter, but do you know what? After seeing your video, I'm not voting for you anymore. Just be my favourite.
You're doing your bit now. You're bringing it down from the inside, or supposed inside.
Then someone replied to it going, fake news, Rosie Holt. Hope you're happy. But I was quite happy, really.
Yeah.
But maybe fake news can be used for good.
Well, I think this is it. I think people are just so ready for a fight.
Yeah.
You could maybe, like, you could bamboozle them like that. Just get them to the old switcheroo. And then suddenly it's like you spin someone around and they go, yeah, come on in. And all of a sudden they're outside on their own and the door's locked. And you're like, hang on a minute. How did that happen? When did you start? When did you get into comedy?
I am not sure. I think I got involved in comedy about 7 years ago. I think so. I trained as an actor, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I started doing comedy. Basically, I was living with Harriet Kemsley.
Oh, yeah.
I lived with Harriet Kemsley when she started doing comedy. And I used to see her do lots of gigs, and I thought, this looks horrible.
I'm going to do that.
I had a terrible one night stand, and I wrote a comedy film about it and put it on YouTube, and lots of people liked it. And then there was a comedian who was working on the short film, who's helping doing sound, and he said, oh, you're funny, you should try doing stand up. And I thought, no, but then I did, and it was an awful gig, but it kind of went from there, really. And then but things really kicked off for me really over lockdown with online stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I think a lot of people just hit it just right. You know, we needed entertaining, we needed distraction, and some people just absolutely nailed it, like yourself and a few other people. And the rest of us kind of just sat there like covered in breadcrumbs, like, I don't really know what to do. It's just like, you know,
I was lucky I had breadcrumbs.
I'm allowed out now, but I don't bother. But I was lucky I had this podcast kept me going. Yeah. I had to talk to people on the outside, you know. I think we had some really good chats, and that's, The podcast is a mental health podcast, but that's kind of the jumping off point. It can go wherever, really. But I think just listening to people talk about their own kind of their own dealings with mental health, good or bad, you know, something will help someone somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's why we do this, you know. And you mentioned a one night stand. I don't think I've ever had one. And
you never had one?
No.
Oh, that's probably a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know of anyone that's gone at a one-night stand and it was fantastic.
No. I have had some good one-night stands. I haven't had... I don't want to make it sound like I've had loads.
Just a relentless line of...
Some of them mean good, probably. Mm. But yes, that one particularly was quite humiliating. So it was quite good to do a... also, I think my natural inclination has always been with anything horrible or humiliating that happens is to try and make it funny. And even with... I used to do that kind of on stage when I was doing straight stand-up. And then when I started talking about politics, it was all kind of stuff that made me angry, really. I just wanted to sort of look at it from a funny way because it's cathartic, really.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I think that's to make things funny.
Yeah, I think... Well, that's what we do, isn't it? We just see the funny in everything and, you know, that's you know, because life is ridiculous and it is ridiculous to end up in a situation like that where you've made an agreement with someone, go, right, we're just going to... Let's go and have some fun.
Yeah.
And it's because in the pub, I guess, or wherever it is, wherever you are, you're a different version to who you are when you end up like one-on-one, you know, like when it's just you out and about, you're like, hey, yeah, really cool. And then it's when you're one-on-one, that's when you see that person, your true self kind of comes out.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
And that's sometimes the chemistry just kind of isn't there or whatever the reason it is. And that must be weird when you've made the agreement, but now you're like, oh shit, no, this is actually odd.
Actually, this doesn't quite work.
Yeah, I'm
I
not.
I don't actually want to see you for longer than 25 minutes.
Yeah.
How long you can long. It takes to drink a glass of wine if you're fast.
I do remember when I was younger and myself, we were teenagers and we were having a drink and I was still learning, I was still getting my head around that kind of thing. And I remember because I'd seen films, so I was trying to be a grown up before I was a grown up. So
yeah,
there was a glass of wine, and I was like, "So anyway, tell me about you." And she just went, "Can you just get on with it?" I went, "Ah, I can't." No,
that's so brutal.
Yeah, and that was a harsh lesson, and I was just so crippled with embarrassment that.
No, but that's nice. You were asking about. You were asking about her. I think she's the bad guy in this story.
I did say to her, is that how you start it all the time? I felt really weird.
Yeah. You're like, is this flirting? Is this flirting?
Well, don't get me wrong. Yeah, is this what? I don't know. Understand what's happening.
Is this
but
a
don't get me wrong, you know.
Game?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been the other way as well. I've been the weird one and I've made it odd.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's the thing. You've got to admit when you're a bit of a prick. Or not a prick, that's too strong, but... You fuck it up a little bit, say the wrong thing, or make a badly timed joke or whatever, and they kind of go, "Oh, I didn't know you were like that." Oh, just kidding, I was joking. And oh, okay, I'll see myself out.
Obviously, this is just audio, but I think the face you pulled of like that I've seen that face where someone's disappointed with something you've said, and it's a horrible feeling.
It's horrible. Head to the side.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's your view. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Great. Okay.
No, my view's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Please don't leave. But isn't it? It's, I think the whole thing of how human beings get together, I think it's such a minefield when you're starting out, when you're growing up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really know who you are. You're figuring out your sexuality, you know. And now we're talking about, you know, you're figuring out your gender and you're figuring out who you really, really are, you know, and that's, I don't know how I'd be. I don't know how I'd cope with it now.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't, I've got I've got a load of nieces and nephews and it's funny watching them because I almost feel, my oldest nephew, he's pretty happy. I think because there is a sort of freedom of trying of working out your gender and your sexuality that I think we kind of didn't have. So in some ways, I think it's a good thing, but I also think it's quite a transitional period. And at the moment, it's why everyone's so angry, because it's all very new and it's working out the details. And yeah, it's transitional, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we are. We're all transitioning. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's funny, we were just away. We were on our honeymoon. And we bumped into, we were in the bar and there was an older couple came over and they must have been 65, mid 60s. And they just started, they heard our accents and went, oh, English. And we went, yeah. And so we started talking. And then she went, oh, and like it was nothing. Like she didn't even flinch. Like didn't even, like she was talking about television or what sandwich you'd had for lunch. She just sort of, oh, yeah, we've just had our first grand them. And, you know, they start talking about their daughter and they're talking about their daughter had transitioned and their partner had transitioned and they transitioned like in opposite ways.
Oh my goodness.
And they did it. But she said it all.
Yeah.
I'm not even doing it justice now. I know I'm making it clumsy, but it just came out and I'm just going, this is amazing. Yeah. It was just, and it wasn't anything special. It wasn't anything. It was just blah, 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 blah. And I just sat there and like, wow. Now, there is an assumption that older generations just don't get it or refuse to get it, but it's not true.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And I just went,
well done, old people.
Yeah, you're not all shit and racist. You must have a lot of that, though. You must have a lot of people, because of your character, the sort of right wingers, you know, the Brexit lovers and all that. Just being shit and racist, yeah.
Shit and racist. What's funny, actually, so I have... I mean, I think I'd get really worried if I had any sort of old right wingers sort of saying, we believe in you, keep on the good work. But luckily they don't, because my MP is so stupid. The most angry people I really get are on the left.
Yeah, right.
Oh, either because they think I'm real or they know that I'm not real, but they are angry because I don't know, I'm not left enough or something. I don't really understand.
But, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously a parody. It's obviously taking the piss.
Yeah, completely. But people have really, I mean, as you're saying, people get strong. I mean, some people go, you shouldn't be making jokes about these things. It's too serious. I mean, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah. You have
I don't
to
want everything to be Requiem things. For a Dream, you know.
But that's getting to the point. I think there's a lot of people, like, I genuinely sit there and go, what do you do for fun?
Yeah.
When all you're doing is telling people off for saying the wrong thing or telling people off because they've got different beliefs to you. And you're like, what do you do for your downtime? Are you just looking for shit to shout about?
I think that
about?
Is their downtime.
Yeah.
they do some really nice job in the day, which is like looking after preschool kids, and then their downtime is writing angry comments online.
Yeah, you may be right. You just want to say tonight, chill out. Chill out a little bit. The world is fucked. Yes, I know. Just relax. We'll figure it out. We won't figure it out by shouting at each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very stressful time. And, you know, you've like today, again, in between the chats we've had today, I had a bit of a scroll through as I was having a cup of tea. And you see the thing about Shell now, they've talked about record profits and everyone's up in arms and you go, yeah. That's what that always happens. That's what's, you're getting fucked. They literally have us over a barrel. What are you going to do? You can't, and then you see everyone shouting at each other again and you're like, just come away from this.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know what the answer is, but everybody seems to be on the edge of just exploding.
It's all a bit depressing really, isn't it? I mean, as I said, I was talking to Ishan Akbar just before this and he was going, I think we have to face that. The country's a bit shit at the moment.
It's just a bit shit.
Just a bit shit. Shit things going on. Bloody Shell. Go away.
I think that's it. I think it's just shining. You know, we already knew that they were fucking us. Everybody, we're all being fucked, but what can you do? I think shouting at each other, which is what they want, isn't it, at the end of the day, but... You just got to, and that's why things like comedy and your comedy in particular is important, because you're taking the piss out of all of that. You know, like the video I watched earlier, and you were saying about you made a comment about the police, like protecting themselves, like protecting people from the police and all things like that. And I was like, yeah, this is it. It's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be making comments on these things.
Yeah, yeah. That was from, because Suella Braverman did a video earlier this week where she was sort of saying about, she was going, selfish protesters. And it was such a stupid video. She said, we have to stop these selfish protesters and their slow walking. And there's that this ridiculous, trying to sort of demonise protesters where you go, yes, but you don't need to be spending all these police resources on slow walking protesters. It's stupid. The idea that instead you're going to criminalise protests if it's too annoying is really, it's just wrong. It's awful. It's so bad.
Yeah. But this is it, isn't it? They're criminalising the protesters when really they should be sorting out the reason why people are protesting. That's
completely.
The thing.
Yeah.
But they don't, do they? They just go, no. What we want to do is make sure that you just take what you're given. And so we're going to change all the laws. So you just have to accept it. But we're not going to give you any more money. Fuck that. We're going to waste all this money that could be given to you on making sure that you don't get a say. And that just sums it up, doesn't it? That's just where we're at.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding as well, talking about mental health, I see a lot of comedians now making jokes. They're saying like, oh, look, we've had the conversation now. That's enough. No more.
What about mental health?
Yeah. We're already talking about it. And you're like, yeah, but it's not ended. People are still topping themselves. So
yeah,
it still needs to carry on, you know, and that's, you know, I mean, how do you feel about the whole conversation thing? Do you think it's...
I think it's really good that we're more open about mental health now. That can only be a good thing. I mean, of course, there are, like anything, there are irritating people online who go, hi, I've just been feeling really sad, and you're going, shut up. We don't need to know about your one sad day. But on the whole, I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if I look at my dad, who is a sort of a typical kind of middle class guy from his generation, went to boarding school at the age of 7, and doesn't really talk, has got better at it, but talking about his feelings was really kind of alien to him. And I think we're in a much better place now. I mean, women, it's always been better for women, I think, because women have always been better at talking about their feelings. I think it's a lot harder for men, but I do think it's getting better.
I think so. Yeah, I do remember, I've used this example a lot. I was away and I was just sat by this sounds wanky, but I was sat by this swimming pool in this hotel. I wasn't the reason I was in the hotel. It was someone else.
Yeah.
I just happened to be sat there. But there was a gaggle of women over the one side of the pool, and they were all talking to each other, and they were all chat, and you could hear what they were saying. And I was like, wow. And then there was this men, they were older men, and they were just sat, not even talking to each other. They were just sort of sat. And you're like, look at that. That's exactly the problem right there.
Yeah, they're just being men.
They're just sitting being men. And you're like, oh, what? They've exhausted the football talk. There's nothing else to talk about now. They're just kind of sitting there going, I bought some blue trainers the other day. I've got blue trainers. All right. Yeah, you're supposed to. You're men. And that's, you know, whereas the women were like, bah, 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 bah. And it was a mate. And you go, yeah, that's you should be more like that, lads.
But
we're sort of told not to.
Yeah, you victims of the patriarchy.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, hoisted by our own petard. But it is that. There is still an element of men. There is still a group of men that whenever they're in my company, and especially like men, like geezers, one or two of them separately will say, I listened to your podcast, I thought it was great. Yeah. But when they're all together, I'm getting the mickey taken out of me. Going,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Have a sandwich, Rich. Hey, just do the things that make you happy, you knobhead. You're like, all right. But I think we just have to keep pushing on, is my point.
Yeah, and it's definitely changing in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, but there's also an element of people, I was talking about this the other day, there seems to be a large group of people now that are they're just fed up with being told off, you know, and that's on the rise a bit now. They go, oh, do you know what, shut, I don't give a shit, because, you know, instead of just having to sit down with these people and just going, look, this is that, they're just getting patronised and shouted at.
I think sometimes that's the problem, isn't it? When people look at elements of the left, is they feel like they're being attacked all the time.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of difficult balance by going, we have to address what's wrong in society and what needs changing, whether it's relationships between men or women, or on a wider scale, our British empire, you know. but I think it's sometimes hard to kind of address the problems without people getting defensive and feeling like you're attacking them.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. I think this comes up all the time, and I imagine you've had this chat. Is, you know, extremes on either side, left or right, are not good. You know, because you've got the left that feel that they're right, you've got the right that feel they're right. And a conversation I had the other day where someone was saying, like, if you anything that the left feel is wrong, is just automatically called right wing, and then right wing is like Hitler and, you know, evil things. And you're like, right wing sounds terrible, but it's not quite as extreme as that.
Yeah, but the right like to sort of label everybody as woke, regardless of...
Oh, I know, yeah. You
know, what they're trying to say.
I know. And I did a gig, I've said this before. I was in Edinburgh and the review said Rich Wilson is a woke feminist geezer.
Yeah.
Right? And I went, wow, all right, I love that. Right? But it just sounded funny.
Yeah.
Those words together. And I was like, yeah, all right, I love that. And I put it on an advert and I put it on Facebook. The amount of shit that I got. Like, to the point, there was this guy going like, well, you're clearly a paedophile, because anyone who says they're woke and admits that they're woke and a feminist, you're clearly a rapist paedophile.
I mean, to be fair, when you said that, I did think, rapist paedophile.
There is a point, I do this. If a fella says he's a feminist, I do go, yeah, all right, mate. What are you hiding? What are you up to? And they normally turn out to be the biggest wrongers going.
Yeah, that's sadly is true. Or they just end up being quite patronising. No, Rosie, you shouldn't say that. No, that's not very right on you. Excuse me.
You could go fuck yourself. I think yeah, there is that as an element of. Yeah, funnily enough, last night on the way to a gig, had a conversation with a comic who's they've just had a baby, and we were talking about. I was like, "So how was it?" And he was like, "Oh, mate, it was, you know, the injections, and then the things weren't opening, so they had to take, you know, they had to have a cesarean." And I was just sat there, and I was like, "Fuck, I'm not being a prick here, but." The amount of shit that women have to go through,
yeah,
not just on that, but just on a daily basis, it's just constant. And there is an element of me. I do. I'm not trying to be a prick. I'm not trying to be like, oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, look, you're a woke male feminist. You can say what you want.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I totally get why women are fucked off all the time. Because I get to just wander around with me Willie out going, ah, yeah, oh, no, look at me, I'm doing stuff. And it's different, isn't it?
I love that idea, though. Men just wandering around with their willies out while women are striving
away. It's literally what they do. And women have to deal with it. Just in all walks of life, just some dude somewhere's got his cock out. And like, fuck me. Kid you not, for a minute.
Just one day with you not wandering around with your cock out.
Just put some trousers on, Rich.
Please, put some trousers on. I'm trying to give birth to another child.
Yeah, but look at that. It's wibbling. All right, can you just... For fuck's sake. And then they give birth to a boy. Not now I've got two dickheads wandering around with their willies out.
Oh, great.
Oh, God, I've fucked it. But that's what we were talking about last night, and it's just... We were having a really clumsy conversation about it, and we were laughing, going, "Man, we have not we can't have this conversation. We just didn't know how to do it."
Yeah,
we were trying to be, you know, like we were trying to sort of, because he said a couple of things and I went, oh, mate, I don't know about that. That's a bit harsh. And then I said something, and it was a weird conversation to have. But we were trying. We were trying.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we were talking about kind of him being a new dad.
Yeah. And there was that classic thing of, oh, well, you know, I have a better understanding now of, I'm more aware of women's issues now because I've given birth to a daughter. And you're like, well, it shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be because of that. You know, oh, I've got a daughter now, so I understand.
Well, do you remember, well, Matt Damon said that, didn't he? When the Me Too stuff was going on, he said something like, I can't remember what it was like, as a father of two daughters. He was going, why do you have to preface it with that?
Yeah, because up until that point, I didn't notice.
Yeah. Just be like, after having two girls, I'm now against sexual harassment and rape.
But up until then, I just barreling around with me knob.
Until then, I just didn't know. I just didn't know what I was doing.
I didn't get it. I needed a woman to come into my life and change me. But the conversations are happening. We are trying.
Yeah, the conversations are happening.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there is a, I think, like you said, it goes back to that. Everybody's transitioning.
Yeah.
You know, on all levels. And we're trying.
Yeah. Know? It's weird though, isn't it? Because on the one hand, I feel as a society, we are much better at talking about a lot of things, like mental health and consent and things like that. But also people are so angry. There's a kind of backlash to that, which means that people are just shouting at each other and not listening to each other. My phone's making noise at me. I'm going to get rid of it. There we go. It's good. Yeah, so to me, there does seem to be a weird sort of dichotomy of the two, of kind of people being more open and talking, but also people not listening to each other at all. I mean, even if you look at our the way TV shows, daytime TV shows are constructed now, they don't have debates anymore. They get two people from the most extreme point of views. So they're like, oh, we're going to talk about racism. Here's this... this black woman who has done a lot of campaigning, and here's a racist. Let's put them together and see what happens. And it's not about having a discussion. It's about who wins the fight. So I feel it's weird. I feel like we've got two things going on simultaneously in society.
I think you're right. I think, and those things as well, those debates, those televised debates, it's not really trying to solve the issue.
No, not at all. No, it's all about... Yeah.
It's entertainment. It's getting someone somebody saying inflammatory comments, making inflammatory comments, and then that becomes the video that then goes online that makes people click on it, and everyone shares it. And look at this prick.
Yeah.
And then they get traffic going to their website and to their TV show, and that's all. It's just sensationalism now, isn't it? And
doesn't
solve anything.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah, and like watching, I was watching Question Time for a bit, but now I just got so annoyed.
No, it's horrible, isn't it? It makes you sad. I've stopped. It makes me sad watching it.
Is it? Because there was a part of me was like, well, I need to stay informed. I need to be on top of these things. I need to know, because of what I do for a living, I need to know what's happening. And in the end, I'm like, this doesn't
change.
Yeah,
I think there's
anything.
Better ways of staying informed than Question Time.
Yeah. Getting news from Twitter like everyone else.
I think people should use Twitter more, and that would help everything.
The amount of times I've shared something and then and I haven't investigated it. I've gone, oh, that's shit. That is terrible. Retweeted it. And then like an hour later, someone goes, yeah, that wasn't real.
You have to be so careful.
Yeah.
I did that once and then realized what I did. But it was quite a good lesson because I thought, oh, God, I got on the outrage bandwagon.
Yes. Yeah.
Rather than actually checking the facts. Because also I think it's not just getting on the outrage bandwagon. It's sort of getting excited about being on the right side of something bad. So you're going, I'm standing against this. It's bad.
Yeah.
I'm sticking my flag in the mosque. I'm willing to put my head above the parapet and call it out. And rather than actually sort of checking any of the context or what it means.
I know, the mob were walking by and I went, oh yeah, where are you going? And we're going to do this. I'll go and do that. And then, hey, pass me that pitchfork, I'll join this. And then you get there and you go, this is a terrible thing to be doing. Oh, I'm in the wrong mob. I need to go.
have you read John Ronson's So You've Been Publicly Shamed?
Yes.
Because do you remember I can't quite remember, but he talks about, he finds some guy who's been impersonating him or something, and he sets his Twitter fans on it, and he talks about the kind of glee he feels, and then he realises that actually it's a bit unsavoury that he's getting so much pleasure from it.
But it is this in us. I think there's an animal instinct in us to be, like you say, to be part of the mob, to be part of the thing. And you have to be so careful because we're all angry and we're all frustrated, and suddenly something happens and you feel it's like your brain kind of goes, that's where we can put our anger, put it into that, to get it out of our bodies, and you can get caught up in that shit, so easily.
And I mean, also someone who's been on the receiving end of that, luckily not very often, but I mean, the first time I'd had a pile on Twitter, and it's so scary. It's such a horrible feeling.
Really?
You're getting hundreds and hundreds of messages telling you you're a piece of shit. And and what was funny is that I started to understand, you know how, especially over since lockdown, we've seen right-wingish people kind of dig their heels in and get more and more extreme and reactive. And I could kind of see how that happened, because my instinct was, when everyone was attacking me, was to kind of go, fuck you. fuck you, I'm not backing down. You're not going to shame me into changing what I just said. So you get really defensive. And it's, of course, that makes it worse. And you're kind of refusing to look at what you've just said because you're frightened. But also you're going, this amount of anger I'm getting is not justified.
No.
So it does make me wonder sometimes when... I feel that sometimes Twitter mobs, if they punish somebody like that, they then of course they're going to retreat into something worse, because they'll have a load of people on the right going, "Hey, we'll listen to your views, and look, while you're here, why not have a look at some of our views?"
Look at these.
And then suddenly, the only people you're being nice to are the people who are showing you other horrible views. And then before you know it, all you've got is horrible views, and all you're hanging around with is people with horrible views. And you're going on GB News on a regular presenting spot.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is something that I've struggled with. Seeing people that I like going on GB News, and,
me too.
And then they're justifying it as well. I've been in green rooms with them, and they're justifying it. And you go, but surely it's quite antagonistic, because it's all Union Jacks, and it's all. It just seems a little bit. It's a bit scary, to be honest.
I had a really funny conversation with. I feel bad saying this, but I'm going to say it. With this girl who worked on GB News, and she was saying, no, it's really unfair, because a lot of us at GB News, we're really just trying to put the news across, and we're trying to do it in a fair and balanced way. And there's certain characters on GB News who are quite extreme. And as a result, people, people think that that's what GB News is about, and it gives GB News a bad name. And she said, but, you know, there's a lot of really reasonable people, like, you know, Nigel Farage.
No, I know.
I went, oh, sorry, wait, what, that's your example of one of the reasonable people?
The amount of people that have told me that Nigel Farage is actually a good bloke to have a pint with and sit down
and chat
with.
She said he's very funny. She said he's very funny.
Yeah. Like Hitler was a good painter. That's a terrible comparison, but
yeah,
I guess, like, no.
Also, he is horrific, isn't he? Because I'd never want to get to know any Tory politicians, because most people I like, and I would worry that I would like a lot of them, and then I wouldn't be able to satirise them anymore. But there are certain people where I think, no, I don't even know if I could be polite with you. Like, I think Nigel Farage, some of the stuff he's put out is so toxic and horrible.
Yeah.
I think that's where I draw the line, Rich. That and Hitler. Wouldn't hang out with him
either. Those two fellas.
Those two fellas. No, sorry. Don't care how funny and witty Hitler is over a glass of wine.
Yeah, I mean, call me a dickhead if you like, but I'm sorry. But I do know people, I'm friends with people that, you know, they vote Tory and we talk about it. And
yeah.
And a lot of time, what they're, the way they put it across, is, you know, it makes sense to them. And I'm kind of like, all right, I kind of get where you're coming from. And but then there's other people like Farage who's just on the extreme and you're like, no, you're just a horrible little man that just wants this. You want this, you just want this, you want this little rock to be, you know, pure or whatever it is.
And, yeah,
you know, you want us all to be pie-eating Morris dancers. And I'm not
and I won't be a pie-eating Morris dancer.
I refuse.
You can't make but, you know. Nigel.
But there are people on there that do, I know, I've had great conversations with in green rooms and stuff, and they're not, you know, obviously maybe it's an opportunity to be on television. They've gone, well, you know, I'm more, some of them are more centrist than they are right or left. And, you know.
Yeah. No, there's people I like who are on GB News, but I don't think you should do it.
I don't want to be on television that desperately, to be fair.
No. I don't even think it pays that well either. So it's,
no, I've heard it's shit.
Yeah. So really, I think by going in there, you're kind of, I don't know, I feel like you're legitimizing a certain set of views. Also, its funding is dodgy. Like, literally is, I might have got this wrong, but I'm pretty sure, I think it's like a Russian oligarch who funds the whole channel anyway.
Wow. Okay.
So it's not, you know, it's not great. Yeah.
Well, I think all of these things, I think, well, it's like everything leads back to dodgy money or a sex offender, like everything. Yeah. And so like if that. You really...
Dodgy money or sex offender.
Everything.
That should be a feature. Thing.
Where, yeah, guess the route. Where does
dodgy
it,
money
where does
or sex offender? Oh, which one's it going to be?
It's going to be a new deal or no deal. Is it a sex offender or dodgy money?
Dodgy money or both.
Oh, and, well, there are only...
It's a trick question. Yeah. It was both. Yeah.
All the white paedophiles that run the place. I don't know. I keep saying it. I'm going to have to stop saying that. But I did this thing. I did when we all had DVDs, and I remember going through them and just going, right, let's see what's not connected to a sex offender. And none of them. They're all connected to something in some way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd end up, what would be the answer? Living in a mud hut that you made yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I think
without any electricity. Or
we just accept that sex offenders have their place in society.
They're keeping the arts afloat. Oh my God, let's get that. That's going to be on GB News now. That's going to be a quote.
Put that clip on Twitter. I'll have my... fourth pile on.
Oh, God. What a way to go. I've enjoyed this. No. But the thing is, I'm open-minded. I will talk to people. I don't necessarily think I'm right. I don't necessarily think they're right. I just think that regardless of politics, regardless of beliefs, I just think now more than ever, we should be just believing in each other and supporting each other. And that's not what's happening. Like, you know, that fucking idiot in Parliament, what's his name? Jonathan.
Oh, Gullis.
Oh, God.
He's ridiculous.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit.
Just standing in a Wetherspoon somewhere, just shouting bollocks.
Yeah, I don't know how he got elected.
I don't know. But every time I see him, I'm like, I know you. I know. I've been stood with people like you.
Yeah.
With your brown slip-on shoes.
And I don't use that word very often, but that's what he is.
Just a horrible person. And you're like, I know what you... Yeah, I've seen you coked up in a spoons, mate.
Yeah.
Just like to clarify, not him specifically, but people like him.
People like him. Yeah, he very much fits into a type.
Yeah, and you just watch him with his red face shouting and hollering and... I say I'm open-minded and I'll have a chat with anyone. I might struggle with him.
Yes, I'd struggle talking to him. But I agree with you. I am too. And I think also because, I mean, what makes me laugh is since I've sort of doing this online is the things people have called me. And I've been called a right-wing stooge, a lefty loon, a centrist melt. And I've basically been called every kind of spectrum. And it's when people don't like something you've said or something they perceive that you've said or you think, they go, yeah. Oh, well, this means you're in that camp. So there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of,
yes.
Oh, well, okay, well, sorry. Oh, sorry, no, you think that, then you're a centrist or you're left wing or you're right wing. It's just,
yeah.
It becomes this, people are trying to work out whether you're there in their tribe. And if you're not, they're going to eject you very fast and put you in another tribe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it goes back to that thing then, like you said, you know, people are getting fed up of being told off, so they end up going... Yeah. Where the people will go, yeah, come in here, come and have a chat with us. Yeah, come, yeah, come on. We've got these lovely flags. Come on.
Have you heard this thing about the Jews taking over the world?
Come and have a look at this. But it's that, it's, you know, there's a reason why people have such extreme views, and it's normally that they're under pressure. They feel that they're being attacked. They feel like they're having their, you know, their freedom or whatever taken away from them, and so they start to attack everybody else, and I think it all goes back to the government. It all goes back to the people in charge every single time.
Well, I think also one thing that this government have done is I don't think we've ever had a government that's weaponized the culture war so much. The fact, you know, usually kind of these points like sort of history and the National Trust and gender and stuff like that was not something the government was wading in on. And since Boris, they've, you know, the fact that I remember you had Robert Jenrick writing an article about the dangers of taking down statues and all these sort of thing, and you thought, you don't care about any of these things, you're literally stoking up hatred. I don't know. I think the government are not good.
But it's getting to the point now, it's not even, they've lost their way so much, because it's literally about hanging on to power. It's not even about, but it's not even about taking care of the people anymore. It's literally about hanging on to power in any way, shape or form, any way that will help them do that. And the way they found to do that is to divide everybody up and go start wanging on about statues and foreigners and, you know, and going
can
on
I just
about,
say
you know.
I love the word wanging. I use it so much, and I don't know if it, I think it's something, word I've only been aware of recently, and I don't even know if it really was a word or who came up with it, but I love it.
It just works, doesn't it?
So
it just
good.
Works.
Just describes so well, you know, someone is wanging on about something. It's just great.
They were just wanging on. Like, oh.
Hats off to whoever came up with that. Probably Shakespeare.
People are probably listening to this going, oh, these two wanging on about the left and the right. But it's really affecting everybody. And I don't think people realise on what level we are still getting over the lockdowns. We've all got PTSD and we haven't dealt with it.
I think that is so true. I was having that conversation with a friend of mine recently. I said, do you know what? I'm going to put it out there. I don't think the lockdowns were very good for us. I mean, not that, you know, I'm not anti-lockdown at all. But what I mean is I think it did have a lasting effect on everybody. It's not natural for people to be on their own and indoors for AIDS and all. I think we are all a bit traumatised from it. And I think anybody I know who... you know, were slightly vulnerable mental health-wise, got a lot worse over lockdown.
Definitely,
and I think, you know, we were talking about people we know who were always a bit right-wing, and you're like, oh, okay. And then suddenly they're, you know, doing some really extreme stuff on talk radio or GB News, and you go, how did that happen? And I do think, again, in lockdown, people sort of doubled down, and because they were only communicating with people online or on Zoom, they were only talking to people with similar views than their own, and it kind of got worse. I think it did a lot of damage. And I do think everyone's a bit traumatized and a bit fatter.
And that's the thing, but people aren't really understanding that we've all gone through this thing. There's a lot of pressure now, like prices of everything have gone up, and they're blaming it on the Ukraine Russia war, blame it on this, and they're blaming, oh, there's shortages of this, that and the other because of Brexit or whatever, and you go, no, I know what you're doing. You're trying to recoup the money that you lost during the lockdowns. You're not only trying to make money now, you're trying to recoup for your shareholders and all that. And it's putting so much pressure on all of us, And there isn't, there still isn't, there's no care of, there's no aftercare from the Lord. They're not saying like, listen, we've all really been through it. You know, let's try and ease back into society and make things work. All it's been is like, right, get back out there. We need to sort out the economy. The economy is important. Sort the economy. And that's all it's been talked about is the economy yeah. and inflation. And you go, well, what about the people that got locked in their houses for 2 years? What about, yeah. we're just kind of like booted back out, like blinking into the sunshine, like, and they go, right, get back to work. And you're like, I just, can I deal with what's just happened? No, there's no time.
No.
Get out there, grab your broom and get sweeping. And it's, we haven't dealt with it yet. And yeah. There's going to be a massive, there's going to be, something's going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it'll be, but it feels like something big's about to happen.
The Labour government getting in.
Yeah, and then what? And then they'll get blamed for everything. You didn't deal with it, you're in, but you haven't dealt with it in 2 weeks. You haven't sorted 12 years of shit out in a fortnight.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next fight, isn't it? It's going to be them going, ah, see, I told you they'd be shit. It's like, I've literally just got here. The kettle's still warm from when you were still
20 years of Tory rule to sort out.
Yeah. Give me a minute. All right? I haven't even got my pens out on my desk. Just give me a chance. I think that was a conversation I had the other day, and there was someone, they were telling me that, oh, yeah, but Labour are just as shit. I went, they're all shit. But it's not about that anymore. It's about getting the Tories out, and then we'll worry
so
about it. Get bin faces.
They're not just as shit. It annoys me when people say that. I'm like, no, they're not. The Tory government is so much worse.
It's so bad. They are monsters, fucking monsters. And it does. It just is. Just get anyone in, and we'll just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Doing their thing, and then we can figure out how to rebuild. But at the minute. But it almost feels like they're like, they know that shit's about to happen, and they're making a grab for everything before they go. It's like,
yeah,
you know, just, it's like the train companies. They make as much money as they can before it gets nationalised again. And that's what it feels like. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go out anymore. I want the lockdowns again. I quite like that.
Good. You've got some good mugs now, so you're set.
Got some great mugs. You know, Carole Baskin's husband is apparently alive and well. We didn't see that coming.
Is he seriously?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently
that's
found
amazing.
Him.
I missed that news.
Yeah. Oh, there's loads of stuff that because we're so fucked off with everything else that's going on.
We're missing the good stuff.
Missing the good stuff, like yeah. Carole Baskin's husband. I mean, Joe Exotic great. Must be fucking, he yeah. must be pissed off.
Oh, well, good for him. I'm glad he's alive and well.
I know someone else said that. See, again, that started a fight. I said something about, well, 2023 shaping up to be already weird with the announcement of this. And then someone went, yeah, reread it, mate. I don't think that's true. And I went, I've read four things.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing. He's alive and well and down in wherever it was, South America.
And some annoying person was going, no. No, sorry, check your facts, mate. You're going, I'm looking at the facts.
I know, I can't believe after everything we said, I'm so shocked that someone I don't know and doesn't even have their own face as their avatar piped up and said something shit.
Stupid. No-face avatar people.
They're the worst as well, aren't they?
Or the like, I really like that. Actually, I haven't seen it for a bit. Mind you, Twitter's all weird now, so it's hard to see anything. But... The racist pets account. Do you remember that? And it was just...
What?
It was called Racist Pets. And it would just take... Because there are so many Twitter profiles where it's just a picture of their dog or their cat and then they just say something racist. So it would just quote tweet these sort of racist remarks with like the little avatar of like a little dog.
See now, there you go. It's shit. Like, I just think, I don't know what's going to happen. Social media is obviously going to evolve. It's going to change again. I don't know what's next. TikTok seems to be the most extreme, you know, it's the most extreme at the minute where, I don't know. It has, yeah. I don't know, whatever's next. I don't know. I hope it's not. I don't know. I get a lot out of Twitter, but at the same time, I just wish it didn't exist sometimes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know. I mean, God, I need it.
You need it.
Need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you'd be fucked without it.
Yeah, I'd be really fucked. When Elon Musk took over and it looked like it was really going down the pan, I got a call from my agent going, okay, don't panic, but maybe go on TikTok now. Maybe set up a TikTok account.
God, hanging on to the branches. But it doesn't affect you then, really, sort of like you can leave it behind. Like when you get in, when you had your pylons and things like that, is that, I mean, the first one must have affected you, but.
Yeah. Yeah, when when I've had pylons, yeah, then you kind of think, God, I never want to go back on here. But then you kind of, I kind of have to, because I'm relying on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But.
Is it easy to ignore? Like, it's all, because it gets, I know, you know, as people just say, look, just do your tweet and then just don't look at it again. Don't look at your.
So I'm much better at ignoring that kind of thing, but it's a bit, I remember the last one I had, I was doing quite a good job of ignoring it. I knew it was all happening, but I was just not looking at all my notifications.
Yeah.
And then my well-meaning cousin said, hey, look at the stuff they're saying about you. And sent a thing. And then you click on it and it's a bit like Pandora's box. Because also you feel so outraged because you're reading stuff about you that's just lies. Like someone's sort of saying, you know, Rosie Holt is a centrist male who tends to be marginally less right-wing than she is. And you're going, okay, fine, whatever, that's your opinion. But then you have, people writing stuff like, Rosie Holt writes for the Daily Mail and did a racist sketch about Diane Abbott. And you're going, this never happened. And then you've got people commenting underneath going, oh, I didn't know that, but I always liked her stuff, but I'm unfollowing now. And
you're going, God.
It's lies.
Yeah,
That stuff's always... That stuff is kind of hard. So you kind of need to not look at it. But the problem is if you just have a moment of weakness, then suddenly it's just opens it all up. And it tends to go on for about 3 days if you have a really big one. So you just need to really, what you need to do is just not go on for 3 days if that starts happening. And then it will kind of have cleared up. But also another thing happens is when I get a pylon, there's these annoying people who've got screenshots from, like, I don't know, tweet I did 4 years ago where they're going, this you? And you're going, you weirdos, why have you got a little folder of tweets that I don't even remember saying, you know, that you're wheeling out when I'm getting attacked? So mad.
Just ready to get you.
Yeah. Oh, well, you said this. And you're like, yeah. I don't remember saying it. I said it once.
Well, as long as it's not affecting you, that's the main thing. Because I like what you do and I want you to keep doing it.
Thanks, Richard.
I think it's great. And so where can we find you on all the socials?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram as @RosieIsAHolt. I'm also on TikTok, but I don't understand it and I'm always forgetting to post on it.
Same.
Yeah, so those are things. Yeah. Okay. One of those things. And then I'm going on tour in March.
Excellent. Where will you be? Just all over?
All over the shop.
All over with your knob out. Just wandering around.
Wandering around with my dick out.
Yeah, wandering around with your dick out. Whatever.
That's a callback. I've just realised that might come out wrong.
yeah. That is a callback. Please. Yes. Oh, God. Maybe we'd edit that bit out. This has been lovely. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.